welcome to another episode of We the People Radio. My name is Aaron Ryan.
And I'm Bill Cundiff.
Sing it, Bill.
Hey, our sponsor this hour, Pape Machinery, our local John Deere Honda steel dealer. Pape Machinery carries everything for your yard, garden, and small farm. If you need parts, service, brand new equipment, go see them. They're at 3119 Twinview Boulevard in Shasta Lake City. Or you can get them on the web at PapeMachinery.com or give them a call at 226-9226. They got it going on down there. And they are open. They're essential.
Absolutely. And if you're going to have, all this rain, and, you know, as soon as the sun comes out after all this rain, we're going to get... going to get hammered with loads of grass and
all the rest of it. Grass is going to grow about a foot a day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, better get nuts. It before it gets dry, too. Got to fix our guest's name on the website. I only gave him one T. Bing! Now he's got two. Okay, so let's see. You can join us online at wethepeopleradio.us. We have shows dating back 10 years. I've kind of grouped some at the top of the page, shows about veterans, South Africa, China, Islam, environmentalism, and marijuana, because we've done enough on all of those, especially the China shows in the last, 17 months or so. I think you'll find very, very interesting in light of what's going on in the world at this particular point in time. Anyway, we hope you will join us on there. We have a lot of people who used to listen on Wednesdays. But now that a lot of people are trapped at home, people are listening almost any time. And the archives are free to use, free to listen to. They are MP3 files. You can do whatever you like with them. Download them, share them, do whatever you want, whatever's helpful with that information. And what was the other thing that was skimming through my mind? Oh, yeah, you can find us on Channel 23 if you're a Rabbit Ears TV person. Channel 23 in the Reading area and other places on the American Uncensored Network. It's a TV network. So that's kind of fun. And let's see, our guest. Is he in there? He is in there. Matt. We had to postpone Matt last week. My bad. We were having an actual... I was having just plain old run-of-the-mill bronchitis, but it had the scary sound. It made people freak out. It had nothing to do with the virus, but...
Get back.
It was scary. It was scary for people anyway, so anyway, I stayed home. But Matt is the cousin of one of my coworkers, and so that's kind of fun. She's always told me all sorts of good things about him, and I think I might have met him at her wedding, but did I meet you at Lisa's wedding, Matt?
I can't remember.
Were you at Lisa's wedding?
I wasn't able to make it.
Oh, okay, so I totally didn't meet you then.
Yeah, that's correct.
Maybe she just talked about you. I'm like, did we sit next to each other at Lisa's wedding? Let's see. Matt served for 22 years, half of those in the Special Operations Aviation Regiment, SOAR. His first combat deployment was in January 2002 to Afghanistan, and by the time he retired in 2010, he had completed 7 combat deployments to Afghanistan and Iraq. Flew countless combat missions supporting U.S. Army Rangers, Green Berets, Navy SEALs, and other Tier 1 Special Operations units. And I'm not going to read the next paragraph because that'll wreck your whole story. But tell the whole thing. But as a retired, the little blurb on here I thought was very good for your website. And the website is thrivingonmission.com. A retired U.S. Army Special Operations pilot shares with veterans and other listeners his story of learning how to thrive, not just survive, as a combat veteran. Really timely.
Yes, no kidding. It's interesting just with the times we're living in now. I mean, I even have to find myself now just really focusing on that.
Yeah, and tearing yourself away from the 24/7 news.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's just, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
It's gotten to be a little bit much. So, Anyway, well, Bill and I are looking forward to chatting with you, even though Bill hasn't been able to say anything. We've had Bill, we've had a sack over Bill's head. We'll take it off now.
Oh, hi.
Hey, Bill.
How are you, Matt?
Doing great. How about you?
Oh, I'm sheltering in place like all the other good minions. So
Bill takes his Corona stick out to the store and keeps everybody away. He said he was in Trader Joe's the other day and people were.
Yeah, it was really strange. It was just everybody was almost on autopilot. They were looking down, and it was just a very strange vibe in there. They were walking faster and, you know, grabbing stuff off the shelf. And it's like, I got to get out of here.
Yeah, it's not good. So when you came back, how long did it take before you had this idea, your Thriving on Mission idea?
Oh, gosh. I think it was probably the past year that it really started to solidify. So that was about, 9 years after I got out. A couple years after, or that was probably, and then, 7 years after we finished our missionary service overseas. And so, I think part of the big thing is I was just trying to, again, figure it out for myself, even though I don't have it figured out yet, but I'm moving, I think, in a positive direction. And so I've always been one to want to help others and to serve and so as I started to learn some of these things, some of these thoughts, I just said, it would be great to be able to give back to other veterans and other people who are either going through the same thing or they know somebody who's going through the same thing.
And is it focused primarily on PTSD?
Yeah,
or is that just a component?
I would say, I guess you could say yes, but at the same time, I mean, I think there's a lot of valuable things that I've learned that can help anybody, just because I think, and again, especially right now, because everybody, is probably experiencing some form of anxiety in one way or the other. And I mean, that's a huge one, that's a huge symptom of post-traumatic stress. This increased anxiety, this always on edge, and who isn't experiencing that right now?
Mm-hmm.
And also the other one too is isolation. I mean, well, at least for me, that was, one of my go-to unhealthy coping mechanisms is to isolate, and which is, ironic, I guess, because that's what we have to do now is isolate. And so it's really important to come up with some healthy mechanisms, whatever that might be for you, because you don't have a choice, really. You have to isolate now.
Right. And so that's kind of in the world of PTSD, that's a common thing that people with that issue would isolate themselves, and it's always a way of how do you get them out. So
yeah.
how do you work with
yeah.
them now that getting out is...
Yeah, now
all
that,
about
now
going
that they
in.
Have to isolate, and you got to tell them it's okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's actually something that I've thought about over the past week, and it really is, my heart's breaking right now because I was informed, not somebody that I know, but a friend of mine who has a friend, a friend of mine who's actually, he's a pastor, and somebody that he befriended and got to know and ended up baptizing him and his wife, but again, as somebody who was suffering and from post-traumatic stress he ended up trying to take his life a couple weeks ago.
Oh boy.
Thankfully, somebody was able to find him, but I can't even, and you can't even go to the hospital and just sit
right.
with somebody now. And so it's...
Well, that's true, because if people are in the hospital, that's right, you can't go visit them.
And so my heart just breaks right now because I know what so many people are going through, and again, especially, veterans, because, for wanting to isolate, and it's so easy then to go towards these
mm-hmm.
Coping mechanisms, whether it's, and then you can start, drinking a lot, or maybe it's, abusing drugs or whatever. And so how does that...
it's just feeding the beast.
Right. And it's going to be, unfortunately, we know people are going to die from this pandemic. And at the same time, there's going to be other casualties that occur because of this, and I would just encourage, though, if you're a veteran, there's plenty of resources out there. we always think that we're by ourselves. Mm-hmm. And so you think, oh, I'm the only one that's experiencing these things, but that's not the truth. And
we have to take a really quick break, but when we come back, let's talk about some of that, because I have a question for you on, like, the telehealth that the VA is using, and if you have a host of resources, we would love to have you share those
and
post them online, absolutely. So you are listening to We the People. Our guest is Matt Roeke. We will be back in 2 minutes, and you can find us at wethepeopleradio.us.
When the wolf growls at the door, hey, I'm solid, hey, I'm steady, hey, I'm true down to the core, and I will always do my duty, no matter what the price. I've counted up the cost, I know the sacrifice. Oh, and I don't wanna die for you, but if dying's asking me, I'll bear that cross with honor. Soldier, an American, beside my brothers and my sisters, I will proudly take a stand. When liberty's in jeopardy, I will always do what's right. I'm out here on the front lines, sleep in peace tonight. American soldier.
Hats off to all of our currently serving military and all of our veterans. Matt, were you always in the Army?
Yep, sure was. Joined when I was 18.
You and my brother. Actually, I think my brother joined when it was that program where you join as a I think it was a sophomore in high school.
Okay. Yeah.
And then when you graduate, you go in.
Yep.
Yeah. So whatever that was, he eventually went into the Special Forces and was a Green Beret for a period of time.
Wow.
Back in Lebanon, right after they blew up the barracks.
Wow.
Was when he went over there, and then we never really knew what he was doing after that.
Yeah.
Kind of. He was probably lots of places we weren't. So, anyway,
right.
Hats off to you. So, after all this, I mean, we, the people who didn't serve and didn't deploy, you can't imagine what, you can see all the movies in the world and you're never going to know because you weren't there. So for those folks that came back, and I would imagine almost everybody has some kind of issues of one form or fashion, and we have a lot of people that are not doing anything about that, what would you share with them by way of help?
There's some great organizations that are out there right now. Thankfully, I've been able to experience a couple of them firsthand. But I think it's important, just sort of what I said right before the break, I was just saying that, for these veterans to realize that what they're going through is not it's not just them. They're not some, fluke that they're the only ones that are dealing with this, whether that's, fear, anxiety, guilt, shame, anger, and I think once they can realize that, and then, because the tendency is, I don't want to go into a group that maybe, group discussion or something like that with other veterans, because it's part of, our persona, that we're strong, we're tough, we're not going to, you know, we don't want to come across as weak. And so for me to be able to serve or to say, you know, hey, I'm struggling with something, obviously that's not something we want to do. But, you know, once people realize that, hey, I'm not in this by myself, that there's other people out there that have gone through this and that are going through it, and they're willing just to listen to me. And I think that's a big one, too.
And they actually know what you're talking about, too. That helps.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, this is, you know, on some of my podcasts, you know, I've talked about the fact that, I mean, I'm doing this selfishly because it's therapy for me.
Yeah, shamelessly promote the podcast, would you, by the way?
Yeah, it's thrivingonmission.com. And I'd link all my podcast shows there. We do a video once a week, and then we get that on all the major podcast hosts, you know, Apple, Google, CastBox, things like that. And even the way that came about was just, again, something that it was a huge blessing, because once I started doing it, I was like, wow, this is really therapeutic for me. And then I started to receive this feedback from some friends of mine, other vets, who just really appreciated some of the things I was saying, because it helped them identify, and they realized, hey, I'm not alone. Really good stuff there.
Are the programs that you're familiar with, are most of those led by former vets and people that have similar experiences?
Yes, yes. And I think that's a big thing for a veteran. I was talking about it with one of my friends a couple weeks ago on our show, and you know, and this is a hard one to really talk through and explain, because, you know, other people experience post-traumatic stress. This isn't just something for veterans to have, you know, the monopoly on. This is something that people in any type of, because it's post-traumatic, you know, so any type of traumatic incident or event can cause this if the person doesn't get some type of counseling fairly soon after the event. And so rape victims, sexual trauma, accident victims, you know, natural disasters, a lot of people can get this. And so, you know, when I talk about, you know, the fact that these organizations that are run by other veterans, they just seem more effective to me. And I think because they bring some credibility, and not that, I mean, I've talked to other counselors before, both the VA and at the civilian practice, and I think at an individual level, they mean really well, pastors as well. But so many times I hear, and other veterans have heard, you know, something to the effect of, you know, it's an empathetic statement of, wow, I can't really identify what you've gone through. I don't know.
But I'm going to give you advice anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, and again, and it's well-meaning, you know, and they're trying the best they can. But, you know, there's just something different about it to when I've got, you know, somebody who has been there, done that, and they're a little bit further down the line than I am as far as coming to terms with everything that's gone on and things going in my head. And then, you know, and they talk about what they experienced, and they said, hey, and these are some of the things that have helped. And they share their story and the things that they've messed up at. And again, there's just, you know, and what's funny is I'm not the only one. Talking to other veterans, we've experienced similar things. You know, so it's not to, I guess, to, you know, to talk bad about the programs that are out there that are run by civilians without these experiences. Because again, there are veterans who are able to respond to those programs as well and do very well in them. But a program I just went to back at the beginning of the month, it was called the Mighty Oaks Foundation. It was an incredible program, and it was run, it's a week-long, 5-day retreat, and it's run by combat veterans who have had post-traumatic stress. And so they've also gone through this program. So there's a huge amount of credibility that comes with that, because they're not just saying, hey, try this because this is what the book says. They're saying, I experienced what you've experienced. Try this because it's worked for me.
Yeah, that's a huge difference.
Now, we're kind of talking about group type things, but I'm really curious, and I always ask a lot of the veterans I work with through work, about the online, the telehealth that they use. And most of that, I don't know if it's always counseling, maybe psychiatry too, but just because we have so much shortage of, you know, so many shortages of doctors around, you know, around the country. And so they've started doing more with telehealth. Have you ever used it? And what do you think about it? And I know it's everybody's, you know, everybody's got an opinion, but I'm curious what you think.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. I did do some telehealth. I think I did, 7 or 8 sessions around probably about 2000, I guess it would have been 2013. And, I did not have a good experience with it. I felt that, you know, the counselor I was meeting with, she was top notch, and as far as, you know, and she really cared and really wanted, you know, to help me. But because it was a program, there was, and this is for me, you know, the fact that I knew that, hey, we're going to meet for 12 sessions, 13 sessions, whatever it was, you know, and I came out and I go into this thing thinking, well, I'm going to be fixed. And then,
yeah.
The VA center where I was going to, it was an older center. Thankfully, they built a new one here in Savannah. But, you know, basically this telehealth was sort of a ad hoc thing that they just came up with. And I remember, like, my first 3 sessions, I was almost like, I think it was a broom closet is where I was at.
I've seen that in some places. I've seen some really great ones, and then I've seen some, yeah, that's kind of start that program in a closet.
You know, and again, I get it. They're trying, you know, the individuals are trying to do with what they can, you know, and with that too, I mean, I've got an incredible primary care provider at the VA. She is just top notch, and I'm so thankful that, you know, that's just, you know, who I got selected, to have. And so, and again, there's other people I've had at the VA that, in fact, on a personal level, individual level, I've had good care at the VA, but as a system, as a program, yeah, I definitely, you know, also see the challenges. And, you know, just like what I was saying, I mean, I was in a broom closet and asked to share my deepest, darkest secrets. And
with a total stranger,
yeah,
over a TV
tough.
Set.
Was that one of your first, programs?
Yeah, actually it was.
Yeah. That would make it tough, too.
It's like a hard way to get it off the ground.
Yeah.
Right.
I've had people say, like, the Chico Clinic was the first one really to do much telehealth that I was aware of, and people said, I could attack it. You know, a lot of these guys were older, and, you know, they're kind of grumpy anyway, but I was like, I'm not going to go talk to somebody on a TV set. That's
what are you
ridiculous.
Saying?
I learned everything I learned from you, Bill.
Okay.
So they were kind of grumpy about it, but then I go to a thing that's monthly down there, and they said, well, how's that telehealth thing going? And the guy's like, you know, I kind of like it.
Right.
So there are some people that sort of grows on them, and they do have access to people that they wouldn't have access to in their own community. I sort of think about it like back when we were in Catholic school and we had to go to confession, and my brother was an altar boy, and so he never wanted the priest to know it was him.
He changed his voice.
So he could go in there and he'd bless me, Father, for I've sinned. He'd throw this weird little girl voice. You could hear him all over the whole church. Okay, so in another respect, I mean, they're going to see these people in their community, so maybe telehealth is kind of nice. I mean, you're arm's length.
Yeah.
You're not going to run into these folks in the grocery store, so it's, you know, and you don't have to talk like a little girl.
You know, the situation we're in right now, right? I mean, those are not essential services, I'm 99% sure. And so, you know, that's really the only option for a lot of medical services right now, including counseling.
Yeah. They're using it for that. Yeah, you can't go join your group now.
And the VA is not the only place using telehealth either. So that's kind of important for people to know. We have to take another really quick break, and then we'll be back with our guest, Matt Rogge. And you can join us online at wethepeopleradio.us if you happen to be listening on Sunday, March 29th, 2020. On or about 12:30, and you can find a chat room window there. Otherwise, sorry, it's closed. Be right back.
What I felt was right, like a rock. Like a rock. I was strong as I could be, like a rock. Nothing ever got to me, like a rock. I was something to see, like a like a rock. My old man's that old man, spent his life living off the land. Dirty hands and a clean soul. It breaks his heart seeing foreign cars filled with fuel it isn't ours. And wearing
there is no more timely a song. First, we're chatting with you, and, well, you know, all the rest of it. So, Matt, what's the thing that'll get people out of sort of that denial? I see a lot of guys. I see ladies who, so just veterans in general, and I see them oftentimes not get any kind of help until, you know, they've been arrested, they've been kicked out of their family's house, they can't, you know, just really bad stuff has already happened, and they've spiraled down mm-hmm. really far.
Yeah, that's, you know, sort of the magic question, I think, because, you know, I mean, if somebody's just, you know, they've got to want to be helped,
yeah.
And, you know, and I get it, you know, that can sound like a trite thing to say, but, you know, because they carry a lot of guilt. I mean, there's times where, you know, guilt can overwhelm me, but just that idea that, you know, just praying that they're able to hear somebody at some point say something that's going to cause them to go, huh, maybe I need to look into something else. I need to help myself before they hit the bottom, because, you know, without them, without education, to some extent, you know, but I mean, ultimately somebody's going to have to make that decision. I mean, even if they have people who love them, you know, intervening on their behalf, ultimately the person's still going to have to make that choice, for what that looks like at some point.
Sure.
And hopefully that's going to happen before, like you said. I mean, it's, I've met lots of different vets who, like you said, they hit rock bottom mm-hmm. and that can end up with, you know, destroyed marriages.
Yeah. I left that one out. I forgot. That's usually kind of the first casualty of the whole deal.
Yeah. You know, jail time.
Yeah. Drugs.
Drugs, all those things. And it's horrible. And
then they have more things, you know, to kind of, you know, then when the alcohol and drugs all take over, then you have to deal with that too. So it's kind of a multifaceted problem. There are a lot of programs. I don't know. Tell me out in your area. Do you guys have all these different kind of things like fishing and, I mean, I know you fish out there, but do you have programs for veterans that like are about fishing? They do a lot of those programs and horse, equestrian type programs.
There are, I haven't come across too many in our area, you know, as far as, you know, within something that I would be able to do, you know, within a day. I know that they're, you know, around here on the East Coast.
But not, like, not super local. Same, too, with like training service dogs. I know there's a program for training service dogs, and that seems to kind of get people out without it being a group thing where we're all going to talk about a problem. It's more focused on an activity.
Right. And I think, I mean, because those are great, and that's how I sort of, how I really started to come to grips with my, I guess, you know, really identifying, all right, what's going on in my head and what are some steps I can start taking forward, was going on one of these, just an activity trip. It's called the Tadpole Foundation, and it's actually based out of California, down in the San Diego area. And we went, it was last summer, I did a trip to Montana, a backpacking outdoor trip. It was an incredible experience. I'm actually going to talk about it next week on my show. but it was this, there was no group sessions, there was no kumbaya moment. There was a couple times to where some of the more experienced, there was a couple people that had been on the trip before, and they sort of, you know, facilitated some small discussion, but there was never a time to where, all right, we're all going to sit around and, like you said, talk about the things that scare us.
Mm-hmm.
Those things came up, they just organically, just, you know, you're out in the wilderness, just talking, getting to know each other, and that's when I was like, wow, you know, these people are like me, even though
sure.
we had completely different experiences in combat.
But the same kind of result, and you were in for 22 years. So
yeah.
you have
mm-hmm.
people who were in for 4 years, 40 years ago. You've got people, you know, all different time spans, and yet the result tends to be very much the same. Tell me this, when you came back, how long before you started doing the missionary work?
I think my last deployment was the end of 2008, and then retired year and a half later, and we went overseas. So it was probably about 2 years from the time I came back from a planned trip.
It
was about 2 years.
Like, was it something you were planning on doing? I mean, have you been involved in that before? I really basically know nothing about your life, so I just know Lisa.
it was something. I mean, we'd done some short term trips before. As individuals to different countries around the world, and we've gone as a family, did some stuff here in the United States, and so probably starting in about 2007, I began to, my wife and I were talking about what might be next, and so we started to talk about, all right, you know, ministry looked like something that would be something that I would want to do post-military, whenever that might be. Then as time progressed, that began to get more concrete as far as when we were going to make that decision, ultimately make that transition.
That's cool. And where'd you guys wind up going? Didn't see.
We were over in the Mediterranean on the island of Cyprus.
Oh. Well, that's kind of neat. I mean, was that somewhere you were ever, if you can tell us, is that somewhere you were ever deployed? I mean, why'd you pick that?
No, never deployed there. Never deployed there.
We don't want any black helicopters this morning because, you know, I'm sure they're all busy doing other things, probably delivering face masks.
right. I mean, pretty close. You know, I mean, I think we were within 50 miles. We could see Turkey from where we live, which, again, I mean, they're, you know, NATO ally.
Yes.
And then we can talk for a long time about that, right?
Do you have your fingers crossed behind your back?
That's right. You know, but pretty close to Lebanon as well, and, you know, different parts of that area. But, yeah, I mean, there was definitely, as far as from a physical standpoint, I mean, Cyprus was just incredibly beautiful.
That's kind of awesome. And you, and how long did you stay there? Oh, 2 years. Wait, I'm looking at your thing.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't like a short-term, you know, gig. It wasn't one of those, you know, we took a week and went there. You stayed there for two solid years.
Yeah. I mean, the plan, we didn't really, it was sort of an open-ended decision when we went over there. And, I mean, we pretty much sold everything. It was sort of like Cortez when he got to America burning
burned the boats.
I mean, you know, we still owned our house, but we got rid of everything else. We rented out the house, and everything we owned other than our suitcases fit in a 5x5 storage unit that we left here in Georgia and took off.
And you stored some stuff in a 5x5. That's not a lot of room.
No, that isn't. So we've increased our amount of stuff that we have now. Sometimes I say unfortunately, but, you know. So, you know, that was what we did. I mean, looking back on it, both my wife and I, we wouldn't trade it for the world, but at the same time, again, hindsight being 20/20, I mean, we did it because, you know, we believed in it. We believed, you know, we're followers of Jesus, and we wanted to do it for that reason, you know, but there were some other things going on there, too, as far as wanting to leave the military behind and some of the things that, again, for my head, I'm going to divest myself of that identity for a while.
Right.
And
yeah, that would certainly change your, I mean, that's, I mean, I'm sure there are other radical changes you could have done, but I mean, that's
right.
Pretty big change.
Right. Yeah. You know, and so probably not the most healthy choice. And I don't see, you know, and that wasn't the reason I made it. But at the same time, it's made me who I am today. And, again, we wouldn't trade it for the world. We still do work. I'm still working in ministry. So, you know, it's a good thing.
That's cool. And now how much of, like with your podcast, is this kind of like a mix of all of it? Is it veteran-centric or is it mission-centric or yes, just all of it?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, it's, yeah. You know, and again, I'm learning as I go. We've published 3 episodes. We've recorded 7. And so, you know, right now I'm just sort of talking about stuff that's been on my heart for a long time. And I've interviewed a few people. You know, I've got plans to interview more people and some other things I want to do with it. But as you can imagine, I'm sure when you guys started the radio show, you were like, what am I going to do with this? And you had some ideas initially, and then eventually you started to evolve into.
Yeah, then it's like tidal wave time. All of a sudden, there are too many people, too many ideas, in a good way. Not enough time. I think that's awesome. So the website for that is thrivingonmission.com, where mm-hmm. Matt's podcast is, and we have to take yet another break. Do you have to take breaks in podcasts, or do you get to just keep talking?
We can just keep talking.
Oh, man, I'm so jealous. brief interruption. You can find us at wethepeopleradio.us.
All gave some. Some gave all, and some stood through for the red, white, and blue, and some had to fall. And if you ever think of me, think of all your liberties and recall. Some gave all. Sorrow in the distance, I'm gonna trust and cast my fears aside. My life's a work that I know you'll finish. I know I'm gonna be alright. It's you I'll chase, even when I can't see your face. No matter how many skies fall down, I'm covered under the peace I've found. You're my shelter when there's no.
So no pressure, but in the last 10 minutes, what haven't we covered? Go ahead and cram it all in.
Wait, what was the question?
You have 10 minutes. Go.
Go. Right. Right. And one thing I do want to say, too, is as we're going, because we talk a lot about post-traumatic stress and mm-hmm. what can people do right now, and I'll say this again, the PTSD Foundation of America has a hotline. It's 877-717-7873, and that number is actually, it will be picked up by a combat vet, somebody who has been through probably what they're doing, you know, going through, and you know, and they'll talk to them. And so I think, you know, if anybody's struggling at some point, you know, pick up the phone, make that call.
That's awesome. I will list that on the website, PTSD Foundation of America.
Yep. Mm-hmm. The website is ptsdusa.org.
Thank you. That's what I was just looking up. All right. Who runs it? Is it a foundation?
Yeah, it's a private foundation. They've got one of their big things is they have a facility in Texas called Camp Hope, and it's an in-treatment facility. Not for in treatment as far as to deal with strong levels of addiction, but it's the minimum of a 5-month in treatment program that they do. And wow. It's no cost at all for the veterans. And I was actually talking to somebody from their program last week, getting some information for somebody else. And, you know, basically, you know, if the guy or gal is having trouble, you know, they call, they, you know, get in touch with somebody, and then a combat vet, somebody who's gone through the program, this at Camp Hope, will give them a call, and they start walking them through. And basically all they need to have is copy their DD-214, something that says that they've got post-traumatic stress, whether that's from the VA, from the e-benefits page, or just a doc, or, and even then, they can probably work through something, and then a copy of their photo ID, and then they work on getting them a plane ticket to Texas.
I was just going to ask that. How do they get there?
They fly.
That's pretty awesome, but they will do that. So if you have somebody who doesn't have resources.
Yeah, exactly. And they're still taking patients, I'm sure they don't call them patients, but they're still taking vets right now. And they've got a program in place to isolate them a little bit, you know, for the first week or two. I can't remember what it is, but, you know, they haven't shut off the spigot right now.
Wow. That's awesome.
How many vets can they handle?
I'm not sure. I mean, it looks, you know, that's about as much as I know about it, about the story. I know I've met a couple people that have gone through Camp Hope, and, you know, these two individuals spoke incredibly high of the program and, you know, what they were able to accomplish while they were there.
That's fantastic. Boy, too bad I didn't know about that about a year ago. I guess, you know, you have to get them on the plane. You've got to get them there.
Right.
And
right.
I had a mom with two sons, and the one son was just spiraling out of control. And there was a lot of alcohol involved and that sort of thing. And ultimately wound up being just a huge blowout in the family. I mean, it was just it really got bad. And his brother wound up shooting him in self-defense.
Oh, man.
So, and they tried everything. But
heartbreaking.
He was just not in a place where he really wanted to fix it. He would have had to have been convinced by someone, and it just didn't click for him. But we lose people like that all the time, and so there's a whole family. He's got one child, maybe two. So he was the one who had kids. The other brother, of course, has to live with that, and the mom mom obviously lost her son, and what a terrible waste. But it was one of those that, you know, he was having trouble at work, got fired from a job, got hired again later, having some trouble. So he went through several jobs. It was a kind of a slow devolving that went on, and I'm sure that's not unusual.
Right. You know, I mean, stories like that, I mean, again, you could probably just change just a little bit of that narrative, and it could fit so many other stories out there.
Yep.
And it's just so heartbreaking.
But for those people, I mean, this foundation, because, you know, we tried, I sent her to, you know, some of the VA inpatient stuff, and he didn't want to go, and that's a whole different deal. This would be a completely different thing than an inpatient facility for, you know, drugs or PTSD or whatever.
Right.
And especially if they had the opportunity to speak with someone, you know, didn't have to go anywhere, didn't have to sign up for anything, you know, just have a conversation. So for those folks out there that have people in that situation, yeah, what is it? PTSDUSA.org.
Yep.
That's fantastic. Thank you for that. We'll all be able to make use of that. So on your podcast, what are you going to focus on in the future? What do you have lined up for us? Because you already cut the shows, right?
So I've got, let's see. So I think seven shows are done now. And then, next week I'm talking about this other organization, Tadpole Foundation, which they focus on taking vets in the outdoors and again, just trying to re-identify them with, you know, that they can still do stuff. I've got a couple interviews. I've got one of my best friends who's still in the area. We served together for the entire time I was in the 160th. and we break down some myths about post-traumatic stress, and then just going to, one of the things I plan to do is I'm going to get my wife to come on the show, because I think...
Another perspective.
Good perspective, yeah.
Yeah, because as a spouse, you know, again, they are dealing with it as well, just in a different way. And there are programs out there for military spouses, too. So
yeah, because they have their own set of issues. And I would imagine, you know, there are some, not to make it too simplistic, but tips and tricks to deal with some of these things, because a lot of the issues are somewhat repetitive.
Exactly. You know, I know when my wife and I, one of the cool things, quick little vignette as we're getting ready to wrap up, we were seeing a counselor after we had come back from missionary service, and I had done something to where I shouldn't have said something, and I was exerting some unhealthy, you know, what it was, in a control. Like, I think if I remember right, I wanted to go somewhere one evening to where she was going to go hang out with some friends. Actually, I think it was a concert, like a church concert or something like that. And I was like, and I was just stressed. I wanted things within my control. And so we got into a big argument. About a week later, we were at our counselor, told her the story, and the counselor sort of looked at me and she goes, you know, Matt, these feelings that you have of anxiety and fear, you know, they're valid. You know, this idea that you want to control everything, these are valid feelings. And I remember I was sort of like puffing my chest out a little bit, like, oh, see?
Uh-huh.
It was okay for me to do those things. But then, and like not even half a breath later, she goes, but that doesn't give you the right to put that on your wife and son.
Yeah.
Ouch.
I would imagine the puffing stopped at that point.
Yeah, exactly. You know, but again, there's a lot of truth there, and that's probably one of the big things that I've learned how to do is to communicate with my wife of like, hey, things aren't good right now. Let me tell you what's going on,
mm-hmm.
and I'll be open, you know, and share a little bit, and then she knows to give me some space, and at the same time, I'm not going to lash out at her. So it's, you know, because there's times where, you know, I just need some room to myself, not necessarily to isolate in a bad way, but just, all right, take some breaths,
yeah,
whatever that might look like.
Well, see, and that's awesome, because there are a lot of people who haven't, I mean, if they could kind of practice that a little bit and they knew that would work, I think if people knew something would work, they would maybe do it more.
Yeah.
I think that's awesome. So people should definitely listen to your podcast. It's thrivingonmission.com. Our guest has been Matt Rogge. And thanks, Matt, for hanging with us.
Yeah. Thanks, Aaron. Thanks, Bill.
Thank you,
pleasure.
Matt.
And you guys enjoy the rest of your day.
Absolutely, you too. We'll be right back.